Chapter 90. Lysander. The Love Knight. Clerastes has given Kalindora a villa by the sea in which to die. If any doubted the honour of the Love Knight, one need only look at the quantity and worth of those friends who gathered to see her once more before she passes from this world. Despite the triumph, the air is sombre. I have felt dirty since I awoke with Atalantia, but not too dirty to reject her morning advances. Kalindora's room is littered with tokens of affection, including two golden gauntlets from Atalantia, the same gauntlets she wore when we had sex in her meditation room just hours before. A patio ambles down to the waterline, where blue crabs skitter in the surf. It smells not at all like death. Kalindora lies on a humble bed. There are no servants in the room, nor any sign of the immense wealth she inherited as the last eligible member of House Sun. She looks up at me with a wan smile as she sees the flowers I've brought. "Where did you find Hemanthus?" she whispers. "Clerastes knew of a hothouse in Naran that carried them," I say, wondering if, even after showering, I still smell of Atalantia. "Of course he remembered." I hold them close so she can smell them. "Like home," she says with closed eyes. "Put them by the bed for me." She nods to the door. "Are they all still swarming?" "About 100 or so," I say of the well-wishers in the courtyard. "There's some good ones in there. Rhone came."
"I saw him. You gave him the ducks."
"Yes."
"No one deserves it more. He will guard you well. I only wish I did not have to leave."
She looks so weak. Her remaining arm is wrapped in bandages. After Darrow's savagery, it is a wonder she did not lose it. His poison has leached the colour from her face. She is so pale. To remember her in the Palatine, young and so full of promise, and to see her now, it is almost too much. She was the future. Now she will be the past. It isn't right that she dies and all the sycophants and monsters get to live.
"Don't look at me like that," she says.
"Like what?" Her face tightens.
"I should say congratulations on your betrothal, I think."
"It is a political affair, nothing more."
"You think so?"
She knows. I feel wicked looking down at her. I should have left the triumph, come here instead. Her eyelashes flutter in pain as a spasm racks the left side of her face. A bit of drool works its way down her chin. I dab it off with my cloak.
"Has Ajax called you out yet?"
"Not yet."
"He will."
"He won't risk Atalantia's displeasure."
"He will. Love may give one wings, but everything burns when it flies too close to the sun."
She looks down at the sheets that cover her dying body.
"It's funny. You always promise yourself you won't become a cliché. You won't be the person who yammers about their school years with old friends, trying to relive the glory. Then you do. You won't be the soldier who doesn't bother learning the names of the fresh troops because they won't be there tomorrow. Then you are. You won't give last breath confessions. Then you must."
Her smile disappears.
"Sit down."
I take the stool at her bedside.
"There are things you must know."
She looks at the door and takes a small jammer from under her sheets. Her fingers suffer nerve damage and fumble with the controls, so I must help her. The noise outside the room disappears, and the sound of the sea can be heard no more.
"I have known Atalantia all my life," she says slowly. "I've seen her as a courtier and a soldier. She has always had something missing. She was here before you. She looks at the gauntlets. Despite what I did, bringing the Praetorians for you, she held my hand and confessed that she believes you're her missing piece.
For a moment I don't think she'll continue. Then, with a sigh, she forges on.
Those were the happiest days for her, you know. When Octavia would let you alone from your lessons, and Atalantia would take you to Hyperion. She does love you, in her way. She thought you were the saddest little boy. We all did.
She touches my knee.
Don't take it as a slight. You saw too much to ever truly be a child. You never had a chance to be one, not really. And neither did she. Octavia was hard on her. She was hard on us all.
She coughs and blood flecks her lips. She waits as I wipe it away.
She was like a poison.
I've never heard her utter so much as a single word against my grandmother. Octavia was a hard woman, but she made us what we are.
She poisoned us.
She was our sovereign.
Sovereign,
she spits the word.
All my life I've served. Octavia, then Magnus, then Atalantia. Everyone sits on that stool and tells me I did it with such honour, and every time I hear it, I want to tear their tongues out.
She looks out at the sunlight as if it were the enemy.
If you regret you are evil, it is still evil. I've killed old men in their beds, children under the feet of their own horses, mothers who begged me to spare their unborn. All because I was a stupid girl who thought her father looked beautiful in his armour. When he retired, I begged to take his oath to my sovereign. He wept that day. I never knew why till after he died. I thought his oath gave him purpose. He was too honourable to say it imprisoned him. On the day he found freedom, he saw his daughter enslaved.
She swallows, reliving the horrors she's done in my family's name.
I only wanted to be useful.
I don't know what to say. Her voice softens.
Get them while they're young, she told Magnus once. Get them while they're young. Then you've got them forever. Honour, duty, it's all a lie. By the time you know better, you're too dirty to get out. Octavia poisoned me. She made me fear to be alone so much that I believed only the darkness would want me.
Her hand trembles upward to touch my face.
Somehow, she didn't poison you.
Her fingers feel right against my cheek. Not electric, like Atalantia's, not rank with guilt, but like they've been missing all my life. I want them to stay forever. I feel safe here. Her touch is not maternal, nor is it hungry, but at this moment I realize she does not see me as boy any longer, but as someone who understands the world as she does. It is already too late.
You were always good. You still are. They all thought you were dead, but I didn't. Say what you will of Virginia. She wouldn't let Darrow kill a boy. Sometimes, when I was in a shuttle and all I could hear were the engines, I would think of you. I would see you off, somewhere by the sea, living a true life. Falling in love, maybe.
Her fingers leave my face.
When you stepped onto the Anihilo, it broke my heart.
Why should me coming home break your heart? I ask. This is my family. She stares at the door, forgetting me and the sea.
I have to tell you something. Something that will make you hate me. Something I know will make you do what has to be done. But I'm afraid.
I take her hand and surprise her by kissing it.
Nothing you can say will make me hate you.
She swallows.
Your mother.
I go cold. What about my mother?
She was a reformer. Did you know that?
No. Did I? Do I?
No, of course you didn't. She saw what Octavia was, how her grip was squeezing tighter and tighter till it would choke our world. She thought the burning of Rhea was an abomination, and she saw how slowly her mother was trying to corrupt you. So, with Romulus's father, Rivas, and Nero Augustus, she planned a coup. Lysander, it wasn't outriders or terrorists who killed your mother. It was Octavia who gave the order.
How do you...
Because Atalantia and I planted the bomb on their shuttle.
I stare at her, unable to comprehend. You and Atalantia?
Yes.
You were her closest friends.
Yes, though it broke my heart. I did as my sovereign commanded.
My hand slips away from hers. The world shrinks to a very small, very quiet place, as memories and all their weight fall upon me. All the times I sat with my grandmother, dined with her, flew with her, tried to impress her, and she sat there, the old crone, pretending she didn't send my father and my mother smouldering into the sea. All the times Atalantia took me to Heliopolis, held my hand at the opera, squeezed me between her sweating legs. A dark glass slides over the world. I will never be the same.
Why can I not remember my mother's face? I ask. Do you remember a chair?
I say nothing.
Octavia had many monstrous machines, but none so cruel as the chair. She called it pandemonium. With it she could pervert the mind. When she discovered Anastasia's treason, she swore she would erase her from history. She did not succeed in that, but she did steal her from you, Lysander. After your mother died, you were inconsolable. She was a good mother. She loved you more than anything in the world. Octavia grew jealous. After 2 weeks in the chair, her work was done, and you didn't cry any more.
I wish I did not believe it, but I do. What else could erase the face of a mother from the memory of her only son? I feel myself struggling to breathe. It was not enough to rob me of my childhood, not enough to rob me of my parents. She robbed me of the one thing that is mine, the one thing that no one should ever be able to take away.
Did Aja know? No. She nearly broke her oath to Octavia over it. Atalantia didn't bat an eye. She is a monster. Yet I swore an oath to serve Magnus, and when he found he was dying, he made me swear an oath to her.
Kalindora swallows.
I am a monster. I know that. I turned my back on the covenants of the Olympics, on my own heart. But I will not die a monster. I won't let her devour you. She cannot sit upon the mourning chair. She must not. She would burn the worlds so long as the ashes kneel.
I stand, unable to look at Kalindora.
I wasn't strong enough to make a stand, but when you came back, I knew it was time. That is why I called the Praetorians.
She reaches for my hand.
You are the sovereign, the last heir of Selenius, the last hope of gold, and you are good. What are the chances you can repair what Darrow and Octavia broke? Make all this horror be for something. Fix what is broken in our people, Lysander. I know it won't be easy. and I am sorry I cannot be there to help you. Keep Roan and Atlas close. He loved your father and mother too much for Octavia to ever tell him the truth. So she sent him to the Kuiper, thinking he would never return. He will protect you with his life.
I can't take any more. I head for the door.
Do your duty, she says. Do your duty, or the world will burn.
I leave the room, a hollow avatar of myself, and find Atalantia smiling at me from amidst the golds, waiting to say farewell to the hero. She motions me to come to her, and I do. I smile and laugh beside my lover, the killer of my mother. And later that night, as I sit across from her at supper, as she gloats over the wreck her creatures have made of the Republic Senate and Darrow's heart, we receive word that Kalindora has died. We attend the spectacle of her son burial on the Anihilo, the honour guard of Praetorians, led by white ceremonial virgins, carries her casket to a burial gun set in the main hangar, which fires her toward the sun. Roan stands at attention. Atalantia weeps. Atlas does not speak. Ajax wavers in rage, almost too drunk to stand as he glares at me with such hatred. It is a wonder he does not call me out then and there, as Atalantia gives the benediction with glassy eyes. That night she sends for me. I have no choice but to go. I find her weeping in her meditation chamber. I console her, and we stare at the mural of our family, at the blurred face of my mother, as Atalantia kisses my neck and whispers in my ear for me to take her pain away and take her to bed. When she is done with me, she turns over to sleep, and I lie there, staring at the ceiling, feeling dead inside.